Today I want to speak about something which you can see on the title of this lecture, Conception versus Reality. In general, people like to think that they live in a world of reality, that they are in contact with a reality that is around them. Although most of us feel that we live within a world based in reality, it seems, at least I can see it in my life, that a conception has a lot to do with it. I have seen in my own life that I have certain conceptions of reality. And naturally, it makes sense that my observation of concepts, my observation of what's going on in the world, is what drives my analysis or my capacity to understand it. In other words, my observation, my experience, is that which fuels my capacity to clarify my world around me. At different times, my internal development wishes to have a certain kind of reality before me. And during those times, my conceptions tend to transform in a way that this reality will manifest. For example, when I have a particular need to be fulfilled, I tend to send out an energy which attracts those forces which I wish to have. This is a usual conception in most religious traditions of the world. When you ask for help, it comes. When you ask for the help of God, it comes. Or in the Vedic tradition, when you're ready to have a guru is sent to you. In a modern explanation, which more takes into account the technical aspects of this connection, when I send out an energy for assistance, those in the universe who are there to give assistance respond. The fact of the situation is, I need help, I call out for it, help comes. But the conception of the situation can be different according to who is analyzing the event that took place. Those who are theists, who believe in one God, will say, you called out to God, God responded. Those who are into polytheism will say, all the personalities arranged it to take place. Those who are into the power of the self say, it is because of your intense energy and desire, you have drawn this help to you. Now, all of these three ways of seeing the exact same thing are different conceptions people have according to what they believe or what they value. Now, each of these three groups, in this particular example, believe very deeply that they have experiences to confirm their conception. And depending on how passionate they are in general and how passionately they believe what they have conceived or what they experienced, they will defend it. Each of these people, if they were engaged in a three-way conversation, unless they were quite evolved, would argue that their conception is correct and the others should modify their conception to agree with their own. Now, of course, this is part of human nature as well. Human beings always like to confirm that what they are doing is right by having other people agree with them. But that is not always possible. It is not always possible to be in the association of people who agree with you, because sometimes you have to be in the association of people who don't agree with you. If you can think about it as perhaps all are correct in their own little way, it makes one understand better the nature of reality. Now, reality is, of course, a subjective affair. It means what I see or what I perceive is my personal reality. But my reality is not your reality. Now, considering that I believe in my reality, you believe in your reality, it is possible, at least we have to conceive of the possibility, that all reality can be allowed within the creation. Now, those who are very fundamentalist in their thinking, those who are very insistent that there is only one reality and whoever doesn't believe it is wrong, will never accept such a point of view. Let us say, if there was a philosophical conception which could accommodate all people, it would be a very useful thing. So, let's go back to the example of the people who think that the help came directly from God, those who think the help came from a multiplicity of sources, and those who think the help actually was derived from the self. If there was a philosophical connection, as I just said, conception, which allowed everybody to live their lives with equal integrity, with respect, this would be a very wonderful way to live. If we think about it, is God limited to helping us directly? Can God not engage associates or assistants for us? And can God not become inspired to do so by our desire to have help? Yes, of course it is true. Now, I've chosen, of course, an example which is quite easy to understand. There are others who have conceptions which are much more difficult to understand. But if at least we can agree on the principle that if we give people the right to have their own conception, we get closer, perhaps, to the reality of the situation. The reality of the situation is that everybody already has that freedom. Everybody already has that right. I can't force anybody to think a certain way. I can't demand them to have a certain conception. I remember in the Middle Ages, we know from the Middle Ages period of time how many people were burned to death as witches because their conception was radically different from the church's. We have seen political persecution of religions, as in the Jews by the Nazis, or we've seen political persecution of people who think differently, as in all of the intellectuals being shot in Cuba or by Stalin or whoever. We've seen this, or in China. These leaders understood in their own what we call twisted ways that it is not possible to change conceptions. Zebras do not change their stripes, so better just to kill them all. Yet, when that happens, you've got the opposite side of tolerance. You've got a dictator or a very powerful leader causing enormous pain to other humans and must be stopped. Because no matter how you have a conception, the reality is whoever's got power has the capacity to influence other people. So one could say that power is the conception that, when you have that understanding of it and using it, that creates the reality. But God has enormous power, unlimited power, and nobody has more power than God. If you believe that, you would accept that statement. So if God is the supreme power, then if such persons who are so dangerous or causing such trouble to people are allowed to flourish, what does that say about God? Mao Zedong, even Stalin, others, they cause so much trouble. These are just modern examples. There are throughout history so many examples. So God let it happen. Many people had that conception. Many people had the conception that if God, they made this logic, if God is all powerful, and if God facilitated these dictators or persons who were just butchers, then God sanctioned it. God said, this is all right, do it. And when God said like that, God became guilty in the eyes of the persons who were persecuted, not all of them, but some of them. And these persons then changed their conception of God and said, there is no God, because a God would not do that. Now, if you think about what I said in the very beginning, at different periods of my life, I had a certain need to accept conceptions because they suited what the situation I was in. Now, some people look at, for example, certain rabbis who rejected God after the Holocaust. They look at these rabbis and they say, these people are foolish and became atheistic. They've fallen totally from their platform. That some people looking outside of what happened will look at rabbis, because some of them did this, who rejected God after the Holocaust, and will criticize the rabbis as being foolish. The point I was trying to make was that according to the situation, these good people, these rabbis were in, they needed an answer to an impossible question. It was impossible for them to deal with the situation. Can you imagine the people you love, the people you have been working for your whole life, have been caused such trouble? How do you deal with that? How do you get an answer to, if there is a God, why would God let this happen? One can understand their incredible and impossible struggle that none of us would ever want to have to duplicate. Now, this was their conception. This is the conception they chose to accept because it fulfilled their need to understand. Because they could not understand. There was no way they could understand. They found it very sheltering to accept that kind of a conception. They said, they cannot blame God, therefore, better there is no God. This does have a certain kind of comfort in it. It allows one to deal with the inconceivable. If one just starts to understand different people's situations like this, a wife who is undergoing extreme difficulty in the family life or in marriage, or a husband who feels neglected, or children who are abused, just try to understand their situation. You can then start to understand how these conceptions, which are developed, are a direct result of their absolute need to have some answer in their life, that it's part of their survival. So their conceptions form part of that reality within which they live and within which they take shelter. And this is a very important thing to understand. Because when we understand this, we start to see very clearly how our life, our evolution, depends on a wide variety of things. It doesn't just depend on me. It doesn't just depend on God. It doesn't just depend on me and God. Now, I'm not trying here, believe me, to destroy the very basis of religion, which is the relationship between the human being, the self, and the supreme. What I'm actually trying to do is to expand that understanding. Expand that conception to the limits of what could be reality. Now, no one can say for sure reality is like this. But what we can say is that we know certain things to be true. And these certain things are the pain people have in their lives and the difficulty they have in dealing with that pain. We all have pain. We all have struggle. We all have difficulties, and we all have our own particular unique way of dealing with the pain, struggle, and difficulties. And this particular methodology we use to deal with our situation is certainly natural. It is not an unnatural thing. In other words, it's not our fault that we do this. It's just part of our nature that we do this. It is part of our nature that we have this because we are intelligent. We have our essence, our energy is intelligent. And we need to have answers. Otherwise, we can't deal with life. And sometimes having these answers is dependent on our having a very clear and proper conception of the world we live in. And having this understanding of the world we live in means we're going to have to accept certain conceptions that support our search for understanding. These conceptions are our reality. Because the reality is, I exist, all other people exist, other animals exist, other trees and plants and all living organisms exist throughout the whole universe and beyond. And all of these forces are simultaneously impacting and influencing each other. We have seen this from the scientific point of view. We have seen this from our experiential day-to-day point of view. Now, however we manipulate, and a conception is a manipulation to a certain extent, however we arrange our conceptions still have to interact with the greater reality of all beings and all existence around us. And because of this, we can start to understand that when we become fixed in a certain conception, we start to get into dangerous ground. Sometimes religions demand of us that we accept absolutely everything that is said without questioning. Certainly, their conception includes that acceptance, because any other kind of a conception would be inconceivable. But the problem arises when the conceptions no longer fulfill the needs of the people who are conceiving of them. If we go back to the original presumption, which is not necessarily an absolute presumption, but it seems to be that our conceptions usually fit within our personal needs to fulfill our understanding or our ability to accept what's going on around us. What if I was in a situation where my conception had to fit somebody else's conception, yet my needs were quite different than that? It would create a conflict within me. So one could conclude that these conceptions are our basic struggles with dealing with a reality that is far beyond us. A lot of people want to deal with the conception of God. In this conception of God, they want to say, some of them, I need a strong father figure in my life, so God as the strong father figure is very useful. Others may say, I don't need any God in my life, so better to get rid of all conceptions of God. As far as I'm concerned, I think that one has to accept the reality that our conceptions are our servants, not our masters. In other words, the most important reality for us is to understand that we do have conceptions, that these conceptions do rule our lives, and that we really cannot understand totally the loss of, or rather the vastness of reality around us. Conceptions are our servants. They are not our masters. The conceptions that we use, the conceptions that we create, are serving our needs. That's a very important point. So they should be accepted in that way, as our servants, not our masters. Because when there's need to change conceptions, we should allow ourselves to do it. You know, after all, it is difficult to live a life according to someone else's path. And even Krishna says that in Bhagavad Gita, to live life according to someone else's duties, or however you want to call it, actions or path, is dangerous. So it's important that we respect our conceptions. We respect our capacity to conceive, and we don't try to go further than we can go considering the reality that we are in. Reality is vast. It's far beyond us. And our control over it is limited. And when we accept that the conceptions we have of reality are based on our need to relate with that limited control, it's much better for us. I want to have interaction with you. So we do have audio connections possible on Microsoft Messenger, I hope, I think. And we have possibilities through TACOM for those who are connected. We have possibilities through direct instant messaging, just text if you want to do that. And you can put questions up on my screen if you like. And we can also have this direct audio connection if you can do it. And by the way, when you are connected to me through audio messenger, you must have Winamp's volume off and listen to me directly. Otherwise, it'll make a feedback into the broadcast, okay? We don't have the professional capacity to block you out.